And now, the thrilling continuation of the SML podcast.
What's the weather like up there?
It's supposed to be cold, but it's not.
I know. Are you guys Celsius or Fahrenheit?
Celsius.
Oh, man, I got to look it up then.
Yeah, I don't know where we are right now, but it's definitely way, way warmer than it should.
It is presently 18 degrees Celsius for me.
Okay. Ooh.
And
that is warm.
It should be significantly lower.
Yeah.
Which city are you from, sorry?
I am from Sawyersville, Pennsylvania.
Oh, okay.
So it should be more like a Celsius, maybe 2 Celsii.
Surprised you didn't know anything about Celsius. Not a lot of people.
I am using Google because I don't know.
Okay, then that's fair.
Yeah, I can't figure that shit out on my own. What's up, everyone? This is Joe, SML Podcast number 146. Another interview episode today, and I am by myself because Chris is out with some girl, and Pappy thought Chris was doing the show with me, so he's not available. So go figure. To make up for my two co-hosts being gone, I have two guests on the show, calling from Canada, where it is in Celsius up there. How are you guys doing?
I'm doing pretty good.
Pretty good.
Why don't you tell us who you are and what you do and why you're here?
All right, I'll go first. My name's Andrew Jabin. I'm a co-founder of Breakfall. And I worked on Starwall and many other games, and I'm an artist.
Yeah, I'm Mark Pintar. I work on Starwall as a programmer. Not too much exciting about me. Just that we're both Canadian, and it's not cold here yet either. It's 30 degrees.
Seriously,
just about freezing.
What is going on with the temperature? It is in the 60s in Pennsylvania right now, and it is mid-December. I have a window open because I'm sweating in December. This is bullshit.
Yeah.
So
it's an El Nino year.
Maybe. I thought that was supposed to mean we're supposed to get like tons of snow and super cold winter and...
I don't know, I think it means that we get warm weather, but we might still get a lot of snow because of it.
I don't know. It's raining today.
Yeah, it rained here too. Same here
it's
too.
It's friggin' raining in December in the 60s.
Yep. And it's not even freezing rain. It's just like, haha, regular rain.
I went out without a jacket on, just walking around. I feel like it's early June. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, or August or something. Yeah, it's really weird.
Well, one day this weekend, I was just like, I don't know what it is, but I felt like spring almost.
Yeah, like just the way the beautiful weather was. Spring December day.
Yeah.
So for those who don't know what it is, tell us what Starwall is.
You can go ahead, Mark.
Sure. Starwall is a local multiplayer game where you control a neon-colored narwhal who flops around in space and you try to stab each other in the heart with the tip of your tusk.
Just hearing the description of it makes me laugh. And, like, a lot of people have asked me if I was going to be interviewing you guys, so I'm excited that you're on. And every time that they asked, they said the first thing I need to ask you guys, which was already my planned first question...
is what were we on?
And where can I get it?
Yeah.
Oh.
We get that a lot. Well, we were on nothing. And yeah, so I guess that's pretty much it.
I believe you. I really don't know if I could believe that.
The only thing that could be anything is we were sleep deprived.
You were sleep deprived, Andrew. I went home and slept.
Okay, fine. I stayed up all night and created, basically it wasn't in space or kind of neon. when they went to bed, and then when they came back, it was in space.
And then they asked you what you were smoking all night.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know.
The context for that was originated from a global game jam back in 2013. So 48 hours to make a game. So that's why we were Andrew was sleep deprived.
Pretty much.
Did you stay up the entire 48 hours?
No, I think I did 32.
Oh, you pussy. You could have done it.
Well, my work was done. I was just, peace out.
Oh, okay. Well, that makes sense then.
Yeah.
At least you toughed it out while everyone else went to sleep.
Well, I mean, sleep-deprived programmers don't really work well.
Well, you seem to do a good enough job with Starwall.
So. The game was small enough that we managed to cram what we wanted into the 48 hours. Most people try to come up with some fantastical idea, and then it's shit at the end.
Yeah. I mean, the whole four-player or eight-player battle arena games have been getting increasingly popular lately, and when people were saying, oh, Starwall's coming out, you should check that one out, it's another four-person battler game, I'm like, well, I've played like 14 of them this year alone, what makes this one special? And then I watched a video, and I was incredibly excited that it was coming to the Xbox One.
Yeah. Back in 2013, that was like when Towerfall first came out, and everybody was like, oh, look, local multiplayer is coming back. And so we were out then, and then it just took some time to kind of port it all to every console kind of thing. So, yeah, unfortunately, Xbox One got it last, but they still got it.
Yeah, it's actually interesting because, as soon as we released, or not released, after the game jam, we were thinking about it, and we were like, okay, we made a web version of it that people play online. But in the back of our mind, we knew that it needed to come to consoles. And this is before even the Xbox One or PlayStation 4 even announced. So now we're on both of those two, which is lucky. Fits well for those platforms.
Indeed it does.
Yeah, but when we were making it, I don't think we really had an idea of fleshing it out until about the day, I think the day or two after it kind of exploded on the internet, at least a little more than we had thought. It kind of more than two people played it, so it was that's pretty good. So then we kind of decided, okay, let's put some more time and release it on at least on PC. And then Steam contacted us, and we're like, okay, yeah, I think this is a go.
Yeah, and we actually got contacted by guys at Valve because they were playing it online, and they found out about it from Rooster Teeth, who ended up making a video of them playing. I don't know how Rooster Teeth guys found out about it, but they did, made a video that was probably the last springboard of success, or not success.
Damn,
I think
one of the bigger ones.
It would have been because of the our Kickstarter. I completely forgot that we had.
No. They did a video before the Kickstarter. They made two. They made one right before, back in October, and that was maybe we should ramp up, do a Kickstarter, and then in the middle of the Kickstarter, they made another video.
Maybe it just happened to be this, where a fan bugged the crap out of them until they.
That's what it was. You could see on Twitter, people were really, every once in a while being. To the achievement hunter guys, play Starwall, and they must have just chose to play it one time, and
awesome. We got a lot of Twitter buzz because I was maining the Twitter account, and a lot of them, we got some tweets about it being banned in schools.
What?
Because people
in
were
high schools,
too
yeah,
much. Yeah.
Oh my God, that is hilarious.
It's an achievement, I think.
Yeah, that's got to be, the last game I heard about being banned from school, it's been a while since I've been in school, but back in my day, we had Magic the Gathering banned during recess and during lunch breaks.
Or Pokemon cards, or, all those kinds of things.
Man, we used to trade Pogs back in high school in my day.
Mine was elementary.
Oh, I'm dating myself here, aren't I?
Yeah, it was elementary for me, too.
Oh, I feel
so old.
We're
a little bit younger. Yeah, just a little bit.
We're not that young, though. But we are a bit younger.
You goddamn kids and your Kickstarters. So it started to get popular with Rooster Teeth, and that led to a Kickstarter. What was the whole Kickstarter campaign about? Because I'll admit, I am late to the game on the whole Star Wars scene. I've heard of it, and then I saw it was released on PlayStation. I never really gave it much attention, though, because I'm not much of a PlayStation guy. But of course, when I hear it's coming to Xbox, then I look up more about it, and I see more about it. And then I played it, and I lost my mind, and you guys actually made my wife pick up a video game controller for the first time in, like, 2 years. And
yes, achievement number two.
Yeah, seriously. The last game she put any kind of real time into was Kingdoms of Amalur: Reckoning.
That's quite different.
Yeah.
Is that the game that made her drop the controller, I guess?
No, her whole excuse is, I have a job and I have to work in a hospital. So she says, like, I don't have time. But,
that's but right.
What was the whole Kickstarter campaign about?
Okay, so, we wanted a little more money, obviously, because, like, who doesn't? And,
true.
And, you know, creating a business and creating, like, all the legal fees and paying for the licenses and stuff like that. So we wanted to make a little bit of money and kind of see how the Kickstarter would do. And so we tried it and we were successful. So I think that
what was your goal back then?
Our goal was $15,000 Canadian.
So that's like 14 bucks American now?
Yeah, but that.
Almost, yeah.
It would probably be around $10,000 American.
What did you guys end up making?
$22,000?
$24,000
and
a bit.
Nice.
Okay.
Yeah.
20-some. Yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah, it was 24,000 something.
And
so
I'm guessing that helped fund the PC development?
Yeah, a little bit of everything.
Yeah, we were kind of just going on our own steam kind of thing, just like putting on in our own time, and that just kind of kickstarted our development to kind of get the legal fees and all that stuff out of the way, so that we could just release on Steam.
Yeah, and then I think we released on Steam about 2 months after the Kickstarter finished, around that time frame.
And how long after that was?
Sorry.
What were you saying?
I was going to say, actually, we launched Steam Early Access 2 months
right.
after.
Yes.
Early Access first for about 6 months, but like the multiplayer part of it was mostly the same as it is now. There were some level additions throughout the early access, but most of the early access was fleshing out the UI and the versus, not the versus, the challenge modes.
Yep. That's pretty much it. Yeah.
All right. I figure before I ask too many more of my own questions, I'll go to the email that I got. Our one listener, Uneaten Lake, he's been super involved with a lot of these interviews we've been doing, and he has a handful of questions for you. Obviously, the first question, what substance were you guys on when the idea came up of narwhals in space? But you guys just won't tell me.
Exactly. Well, it's illegal
here, Canada,
so
that you guys can't get.
Yeah.
There was really, like, no alcohol, at least, involved in narwhals in space?
I don't think I even had a beer that entire weekend.
Wow.
I don't think
I had a chocolate.
Yeah, chocolate's a good drug.
Yeah. And pizza.
I don't think we would have got anything done if we were under anything. We were just like, okay, yeah, we're done. We're going to just go home and, I don't know, sleep or something. Watch some crazy-ass movie or something like that. Like, I don't know.
It's actually, I want to go back and take some screenshots from the very early parts of that game jam, if we even have those files anymore, because even the art at the beginning was more realistic looking for like the narwhals. They weren't neon. Yeah.
Yeah,
They
they
are
were cartoon drawing
also,
or whatever.
they evolve to be neon throughout the course.
So it's very similar to like the initial concept of Borderlands before the whole cel shading cartoony look. So you were
Probably, yeah.
inspired by Borderlands with
Yeah.
stuff.
Sure, we'll say that.
We did it actually mostly for simplicity because all the different parts of the narwhal are different 2D images. And then if they're all one solid color, we didn't have to worry about any seams.
That's fantastic. It's
Yeah, we
just
were
such a
sometimes easiest thing
unique
in game
concept.
jams. Yeah.
All right, second question he has is Starwall was initially on Kickstarter about 2 years ago. Do you find that using a funding site like Kickstarter is good for creating money to pay for a game, or is it more of a way to generate hype and fan base for a title that would otherwise be unknown?
Both. Yeah, like it,
Yeah.
because of the Kickstarter, we got a few more Let's Plays, and I think more people were able to see it and kind of just put their money where their mouth is, kind of thing.
Yeah, I kind of agree with that. It helps with having a little bit of funds, but it wasn't our end goal. Because we knew that there was the possibility of us not reaching it, and with us not reaching the goal, it would most likely be more of a time to get users interested in the game.
Is it something that you guys would have made no matter what if it was if the goal was met, or if it wasn't, it would just take longer to come out?
I actually I don't know if it would take longer, except maybe we hit a few of our stretch goals, so it did take a bit longer in that sense. But if we wouldn't have hit our goal, we would have still done it. It just kind of helped with the business side of it, I think.
And business is always good.
Business, yeah, it's best to just push it aside as quickly as possible and then just make your game. Kind of
Take care of the boring shit and then focus on the actual game making as my phone goes
Yeah.
off and I forget to silence it. My earthbound ringtone. next question. After watching the hands-on video for Starwall, what's it like to see people having a good time playing the game? It looks like everyone comes away with huge smiles on their faces.
I think that's the ultimate end goal for a lot of developers is just to see people enjoying and smiling about, like, as they play your game. It's just awesome.
Yeah.
Like,
I
some
think it's
people kind of make money, but for a lot of, like, indie developers especially, it's like that is what you want. That is the ultimate, yeah, I don't know how
the
to
ultimate
exactly
payment,
say
the
it.
ultimate reward, I guess.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, we do hear that a lot from indie developers that they didn't get in this to make money. If they wanted that, they would work for someone else making
Yeah.
games, but they just want to make what they think will make people happy and just have people enjoy their work and their art.
Or a lot of indie developers will just make what they think they will want to play, and then it just happens that there are, or they find people, like-minded people that enjoy it as well.
That enjoy murderous narwhals in space.
Yeah.
Everybody should enjoy that, though.
I mean, what's not to love about murderous narwhals in space?
Exactly.
It was actually not even supposed to be narwhals to begin with.
Ooh, what was it
Unicorns.
supposed to be?
Well, we had come up with a couple of ideas of other game ideas, and I had pitched some idea of like having quap-like unicorns kind of jousting, because at the time I was very much into the quap and the, what is it, Bennett Foddy,
Bennett Foddy,
yeah,
that guy, yeah, the guy who
his
made
games.
super pole vaulters. That's probably one of our more popular games.
Sure. That guy.
Yeah.
Anyways, so I wanted to make something like that, but then like in a game jam, it was just too complex to have a unicorn and all of its parts and moving things. So eventually we just, like, what else has a horn?
No, and narwhals are the unicorns of the sea.
And a lot of people actually don't believe that unicorns are real, or not unicorns are real, because, you know, we all know those are real.
Yeah, obviously.
But narwhals, yeah. They think that they're just made up beasts.
Like, who doesn't believe that they're a real animal?
There's a lot of them.
People who haven't watched National Geographic.
It's like the internet exists. Just Google narwhal. It's like, I thought
people
that you learn about shit like that in elementary school, of dumb animals of the world. Them, platypus. Oh, man.
Yeah.
So a lot of people have been... What were you saying?
So that actually reminds me. So Major Nelson, when he was talking about the releases of a bunch of games last week when Starwall came out on Xbox, he actually called them belugas. Some people on Twitter kind of was like, yeah, you know that they're narwhals, right? But it actually is kind of interesting because narwhals and belugas are the only two members of their family. So they're like really closely related, and they can actually intermate.
Yeah,
but that rarely happens.
See, people who are listening to this, they're learning shit.
Yeah, so but sometimes people think they're belugas. I can understand because they are similar, but narwhals are better because they have tusks.
Well, we've gotten belugas, just regular whales. We've got dolphins. Like, people just don't know they're marine animals.
I think this obviously means you need to have DLC animals.
Oh, boy.
Just download the dolphin pack or download the whale pack.
Yeah, where you don't have anything to pierce, so you're just sitting there just doing nothing. It's just flopping.
You just duct tape a sword to their head.
Yeah. That's actually one of the costumes.
Yeah. I was going to ask, what's with all the different costumes in the game? Because I think the first 10 minutes I spent playing it was just going through and laughing my ass off at all the different outfits and helmets and people riding the narwhals.
I believe it was out of two things, kind of. One, it was it one of our Kickstarter things?
I think you're going to do it no matter what. The riders for Kickstarter.
Yeah, okay. Well, then it's only one thing. Or two things. I don't know. One, it was one way to differentiate the different whales. Because people that are colorblind will have have trouble with the green and the yellow narwhal.
Yeah.
So if you have like a different silhouette, then people can actually decide to be like, okay, mine is the big ass bulky one or whatever. And then the other one is obvious. Everyone likes to customize and dress up their avatars.
So yeah, TF2 hats style.
Pretty much. But we one-up them. We have hats and body pieces.
I say there's something else you could do microtransactions for, just all new hats. Just years and years of hat DLC for Starwall.
Yeah, there was one thing that we wanted to do with this game, and that was just like, if someone were to start playing the game, they would have access to the whole game. Just because, I don't know, why did we do that again?
Because you guys are smart and you don't like screwing people over?
Yeah, we just don't like money, I guess.
I guess not.
Money's overrated.
Yeah, but like it's always always difficult or something bad whenever you like start a new Smash Bros. Profile or whatever. You go to someone's house and they don't have everything unlocked. You're just like, ah, stupid. Unlock everything.
It's like, man, how don't you have all the characters? Like.
Exactly.
What the hell is wrong with you? You know, some of us don't main as Mario.
Yeah, Mario, Zelda.
I need Donkey Rob.
And, well, Rob is an unlockable, I think, in the new one.
Rob and Duck Hunt. Dog and Duck.
Man. And Robot.
So, how many amiibos do you guys have?
I think I'm the only one that has one.
Oh, are you an amiibo collector, or do you just have one?
I'm looking at my collection right now.
So
it's
am
too
I.
Much. It's just too much.
It really is.
Yeah. I think I have close to 50 of them or something like that. Maybe Ooh, more.
That's impressive.
I don't even want to count. I'm scared to count how many I have.
I have almost all of the Smash Brothers line. And then I decided that that's pretty much all I'm going to get now, because I started going into the other lines and I was like, nah, this is a never ending hole.
The only other lines I went into was I got Toad from the Mario Brothers line. I did get the gold and silver Marios because I was lucky enough to get a gold one. And then I'm like, well, I have gold, might as well get silver. And then I got the yarn Yoshis.
Yeah. I have those ones as well.
Couldn't pass up the yarn ones. I didn't get the giant one yet, but maybe one day.
I'm going to pass on the giant one.
I can't believe they want 40 American for that thing.
Yeah, it's like something like $60 here.
Jeez. It's a friggin' plushie.
Yep.
Oh, man. So, yeah, you guys, Starwall Amiibo. That's what we need next.
That would be awesome. That would be amazing.
Yeah. We would have to do it ourselves, though. Yacht Club Games did it with the Shovel Knight amiibo.
I was going to say, you could hook up with Yacht Club and try working something out.
And actually, I even read something today that, because like Minecraft just got announced for Wii U.
Yeah.
Like, what, last week?
Yeah.
So Microsoft also mentioned that they know, well, they've mentioned that they know people are interested in a Minecraft amiibo.
Oh, my
Lord. But that's all they've said about it. They haven't said if they're going to make them.
Oh, man, that would get all the money in the world.
Yeah, like Minecraft hasn't already got all the money in the world.
Oh, man. I'm scared thinking of the possibilities of Minecraft amiibo.
Instead of just doing Steve, they do, like, the pig.
Creeper. The creeper would be such a huge sell. People love the creeper.
I'd buy a pig.
Yeah, I'd buy a pig, too.
A pig amiibo.
What about a pig bacon amiibo? Is there even bacon in Minecraft? I don't want bacon.
How about an amiibo made of actual bacon?
That would be good.
Man, this is money. This is money here. We got to talk with Microsoft.
Like, comes around and eats it. Goes your money.
My cats will be playing with it, trying to chew its face off.
Bacon face.
So, if I remember correctly, there were a bunch of new costumes for the narwhal in the Xbox version, correct?
Correct, yeah.
What kind of new costumes are Xbox exclusive?
I don't know.
actually, let me see if I can find
it. I don't know. There's like some bees.
Oh, the bee suit. I think that was the first one I used.
Yeah, and then there's like a cuttlefish on your head.
Yeah,
there's the awesome Keytar.
Oh, the Keytar was amazing.
Traffic cone.
Was it headphones?
Headphones, yeah. There's like the zombie head and
zombies.
Body.
Yeah.
I like seeing Chun-Li and Guile and Ryu.
Those are in the regular one?
Yeah, those are everywhere.
It's still fun to see, though.
Yeah. Those ones were, like, one of the first ones, actually.
What about all the riders, all the people riding the narwhal?
That came out of the idea kind of stemmed from our Kickstarter. It was one of the higher tiers that you would be able to put your face into the game. So... So we've put all the developers' faces, We put the Kickstarter backers and the Rooster Teeth, I think we put them in there as well, because they kind of helped us quite a bit.
Should have pulled an NBA Jam and put like Bill Clinton in there.
Yeah, because we don't like money, right?
Yeah. Man, just so many ridiculous costumes in the game. I love it.
It was basically like, what do we want to see and what can we rip off?
Ripping off is always fun.
Yep.
Hey, as long as it's far enough from the original, you're covered by parody.
As long as we don't name it what it is or don't do anything like special symbols, then yeah, we're cool.
So one of the things that people have been wanting me to ask is, it's been fixed now, but what was the story with the achievements when it first released?
I'll answer this one, I guess.
Yeah.
So when we first got like all the online stuff with Microsoft and Xbox, the other programmer had temporary gamer score values just to reach up to 1,000. We did have them all set properly, and we have a document with it. We set it all, but right when we were going through certification, we had some issues with the online stuff, and their soundbox got reset to a previous version that had those achievements to it with the incorrect gamer score. And it's not something that we realized that we probably should have double checked. And it's not something that fails when you go through certification either. So it was something that kind of just like fell through the cracks, but we had them all set at one point, but it got reverted. And then we were like, oh crap. At first we didn't even know if we could change them, and we couldn't, but we got an exception for it, which was nice.
Yeah. I remember when it first happened, I saw the Twitter account was saying, you know, it was a mistake and there's no way to actually change it. We could change the names, but not the values. So a lot of people were relieved when the update came out and all the values were changed.
Yeah, and I was relieved too.
A lot of people
too.
Were actually pissed off too.
Yeah, some people were mad.
Some people were
already
like,
got
I
my
like
1,000,
that.
You sons of bitches.
That's exactly what we heard. Yep.
And it's just like, there were 5 achievements that were worth 200, and some of them were easy. But like one of the 200 point achievements was get your first gold medal.
Yeah, I had that
really
one.
Really easy. It kind of sucks for the people who already got the gamer score. It was fixed within 2 days. We did it as quick as we could. As soon as it was released, we figured out there was issues and we tried to contact Microsoft. So we didn't want to go too long. But yeah, it's kind of funny because I think our only achievement that's even worth 200 now is get all 32 platinums in challenge mode, which is hard to do.
Yeah, and I've seen some people busting their ass and actually earning it. One of our friends on the show, he's a Twitch streamer named Shiz Blacka. Watching him raging his face off trying to get those platinums are some of the greatest Twitch memories I will ever have.
Oh, I jumped on that stream last night.
On Shiz's?
Yeah, I was talking to him. Every once in a while, he'd have troubles with the level. I'm like, here, try this route. And I was talking.
Oh, he had inside information.
Oh, were you the one who was suggesting the routes last night? Because I think I was in the chat as well. I just had it playing on the side while I was watching TV.
Yeah.
Because I had the football game on. Son of a bitch, if I only knew. Yeah,
then you talk to, and you're like, oh, you're that guy. That happens a lot at conventions.
Yeah, one of these days I'll get to go to actual conventions and meet some of you guys. The only people I ever have a chance to meet are the ones who go to MAGFest in Virginia.
I never think I've even heard of that one before.
You should check it out. It's going to be in February. MAGFEST. It is going on its 14th year. It's not a convention, it's a party.
But what is it?
It was originally the Mid-Atlantic Gaming Festival, but it's now officially the Music in Games Festival. It takes place at the Gaylord, National Resort in Baltimore Harbor, and it's just a weekend of convention-style panels and events and just near-constant music and concerts, a gigantic arcade and game room that's open the entire time. Nothing shuts down.
Sweet.
It is absolutely amazing. I'm one of the few people who have been to every single MAGFest, and as long as I'm breathing, I will never miss one.
Awesome. Actually, once you said it was like Mid-Atlantic Gaming, whatever what it used to be called, I think I actually ran into somebody when we were in Austin, Texas this summer for Rooster Teeth Expo, asking us if we wanted to go.
Possibly.
Seems familiar now.
It's very possible. The Mid-Atlantic Gaming Fest was its early, early name. It's been music and gaming for at least the past, 8 years, something like that. But it is, if you guys can ever find a way, it's closest to D.C. than like Mid-Virginia. But if you guys could ever find a way to make it there, maybe show off an upcoming game, because they just started like an indie game showcase now that they're doing. And it's really, really cool stuff.
Road trip.
Indeed.
Yeah, pretty much. It's what, like 6 hours or something? Maybe less?
D.C. more. DC How more?
I don't know.
Google
that
Boston
shit.
For PAX. Yeah. Right. So
yeah, we drove to Boston.
What city in Virginia is it in?
I guess just look for DC.
DC.
Yeah, Washington DC, because it's basically you could see like the Washington Monument from the hotel if you're up high enough. Okay. Yeah, it is an absolute blast of a weekend, and chances are if you go there, somebody you bump into will at one point offer you alcohol or a place to party.
Yeah, that's like a 9-10 hour drive.
Ew.
So Washington, D.C. is further south than Boston, and we drove to Boston for PAX. I've done that 2 years now in a row.
Yeah, I've never done a PAX. I know last year during MAGFest, PAX South was the same weekend, and there was like a little friendly rivalry going on where they even did like a, I guess like a conference video game competition, and PAX South ended up winning and beating us. Oh, those bastards.
But only by like a small margin, right?
I don't remember. All I know is, just to prove how much better MAGFest is, the one guy who performed at PAX South flew to MAGFest when he was done.
Well, there you go.
So we won in the end. So you've been to PAX East. What other conventions have you guys gone to? And I'm guessing you've shown off Starwall at different events and conventions.
Yeah, off the top of my head, we've been to E3, been to Fantastic Arcade in Austin. We've been to Rooster Teeth in Austin. Been to PAX East.
Yeah, we had a booth at PAX East this year, and last year we were on the Ubisoft Next Level stream for a bit. We've been to PlayStation Experience. We went there last year, not this year.
Oh, yeah, that was fun. That was in Vegas.
We went to Evo last year.
All right.
Oh, and man, we need Starwall to be part of Evo.
Yeah.
If only. That would be amazing.
Oh, my Lord, that would be so good.
Yeah, that was
They'd
fun.
Break our game, and we would be like, yay.
Like, I'm just waiting for some of these multiplayer battle style games to get their own league, like get Clusterpuck to have a tournament, get Starwall to have a tournament, iDarb to have a tournament, Towerfall, just all of these games. There's a market out there. There people can like $1 million tournaments for who can stab the most narwhal in the chest.
That's what we need. We need an indie game esport tournament.
Hell yeah.
Do that. Like all those you said, there's a lot of games like that. Lethal League. What else?
Yeah,
Samurai Gun.
Let's get Mike on the case. He could figure this out. created iDARB. He can do anything.
What is this iDARB?
You haven't heard of iDARB? Oh, my Lord. You need to figure that out.
iDARB.
Yes. Hashtag iDARB. It drew a red box, and it is... It's basically a 4-on-4 2D soccer-ish with Twitter hash bombs that could screw up the game, and it's insane. It's pretty insane. I'm sure that was drug-fueled as well.
Oh, yeah. Like the majority of indie developers, right?
I would hope so.
We've got money. We're just swimming in it.
Just doing blow off hookers' asses.
That's a common thing. That's the drug that we took when we were doing it.
Nice. Was the drug blow or was it hooker ass? Was that the drug?
It was the combination of the two.
It's always good. Yeah. I miss those days. My wild youth. So my one co-host, his favorite question to ask people is, while you guys were making Starwall, what games did you play to kind of take a break from development or just relax after a day of work and play yourself?
There was a few times we played some Lethal League at work or when we were working on it together. Smash. There's a lot of Smash.
We played a lot of Smash Bros. I think I did more Smash than development.
Nearing the end, we did a lot. When did Smash come out? Like, less than a year ago?
More than a year ago.
So, like, we were already out on Steam and stuff, and we were mostly doing porting stuff at those times. But we played Smash.
Yeah.
But most days.
A lot of us were part-time, and so we would have day jobs and then come home and just make Starwall. So even like games were kind of hard to do, but
how big of a team are you guys made up of?
I think we're 7 people.
Six.
Did you just murder one and now it's down to 6?
Yeah. That way we get more money.
We weren't supposed to know that.
That's why the furnace is so loud. You're burning the body during
it's
the
a
episode.
Crematorium. Yeah, yeah.
Well, at least we know.
We had 6, right? Unless you count MC, but she was only temporary for PlayStation launch. Yeah. Right? Because even if you go to our site, we only have 6 people as our credits.
Yeah, the last one we don't credit anymore.
Who's the last one?
I don't know.
MC
no,
would be the only one.
But yeah, like yeah, I guess 6 people.
Are you talking with the like Martin?
No.
No. Who's the 7th? We didn't have a 7th. Whatever, we didn't. Whatever.
We're probably going to spend the next like 10 minutes trying to figure out who the 7th person is.
There was no 7th. It was MC.
This is your episode. You guys could take as much time as you want figuring out that 7th person.
No, we had a temporary person do PR and stuff. MC, who's actually engaged to Renaud Bedard, who was the programmer for Fez.
Ah.
So you probably know that. Small world.
I've heard of Fez. That is indeed a game that I have heard of and have owned and played and never beat it because I wasn't that good at it.
Yeah.
I don't know if I wasn't that good or if it was just that friggin' confusing sometimes. Probably both.
Even though some of the puzzles were crowdsourced, like they figured it out with a bunch of people. Like it was, I don't think any one person solved the game.
Yeah, that's like the era
puzzle.
We live in.
I actually think they people brute forced the final solution.
Man, just beat the puzzle into submission. Yeah. And that's why Phil Fish is so pissed off, because his game was ganged up on and conquered that way instead of
how it should have been. Yeah.
Phil Fish is a good person, though. I've met him once or twice. Once.
Yeah, I met him in Texas.
He's very particular about his poutine.
He's particular about
which
what?
Is a Canadian food. His poutine.
Oh, yeah, Frigga. Yeah.
He's from Montreal, he has to be.
Well, yeah.
So I unfortunately have never had real, honest to God poutine. What is the difference between that and just making French fries with beef gravy and American cheese?
Because first of all, it's not American cheese.
Yeah, screw that shit. It's cheese curds.
You want cheese curds?
Cheese curds.
Fresh cheese curds.
All right.
Damn right. They have to squeak when you chew them.
and they have to. You have to wait for the gravy to melt the cheese.
Oh, obviously,
it's all nice and really gooey,
and runny, and like just drips down your chin, and like me, it would get stuck in my beard. Oh my God, that would never come out. Melted cheese in a beard.
Like, as soon as you see someone like grating the cheese, you just throw it out.
You just punch him in the face.
Yeah, just
what the fuck is your problem? How dare
you?
I don't
know what you're doing.
Yeah. How dare you, sir? One of these days, I will have honest-to-God poutine.
Well, you're only like 10 hours away or 6 hours away, so start walking.
I think I'm a 4-hour drive from Niagara Falls. Something like that. Yeah. 4 or 5-hour drive.
Yeah, I guess you would be. It's not that far away.
But you have
I think
to
you're
going
actually probably almost closer to Niagara Falls than we are. Because we have to go around... the lake.
Well, that's if you choose to take the roads.
Well, yeah, I guess we need an amphibious vehicle. So you can just go down the river and get onto the Lake Ontario at Kingston. And just
if you're going down the river, you obviously need to do it in a barrel.
Yeah.
Then you're already ready to go over the falls.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Gotta do it the right way.
Barrel.
No.
So what other amazing food do you guys have in Canada that Americans will never understand the amazing pleasure of?
Ketchup. No, coffee crisps.
It's a
wafer chocolate bar.
Yeah, we all said it all at once, and we're saying it again now.
There's also ketchup.
Yeah, it's a wafer chocolate bar with like a hint of like coffee taste to it.
I know one of the things you guys have, we actually had in America, I don't know if it was like a limited time summer thing or not, but all covered chips.
All dressed?
All dressed, yeah, sorry.
All those.
You guys don't have that?
No, not officially. We had it over the summer, and it was like I bought as much of it as I could while I could find it. There was one store in my area that had it, and it even had a little emblem on the front of the Canadian... the maple leaf, and it's like imported from Canada or Canada's number one flavor or something like that. And now I can't find it anywhere else, which sucks because they were freaking awesome.
They are good. Especially the Ruffles good. Versions. That's my favorite.
Yeah, those were the kind that we have or had at least.
It was a couple summers ago, the Edmonton Eskimos, which is a CFL team. I think they have a player called Dressler, and there was a brand of all dressed chips, and they called them all Dressler chips, and it had this guy Dressler on the front.
Oh my God.
That's very funny. Another flavor of chips that I believe is Canadian versus and not in the States is ketchup chips.
We've had a handful of different ketchup chips in America, but I don't know if we ever had the same ones.
Maybe.
I personally would rather just get like plain Lay's chips and dip them in ketchup because the fake ketchup flavor just didn't taste the same.
No, it doesn't. I don't personally like them, but I know some people that do.
I know something I was jealous of you guys was maybe a year or two ago, you had the Mountain Dew Democracy vote going on, and Canada had Mountain Dew Supernova, and I would kill a man to get a case of Supernova right now.
Oh,
I think I drank all of them, and it was just it was not good.
Oh, I love the Supernova was the pink one.
Okay, yeah, there was like a pink one, a blue
strawberry
one.
Melon. Oh my God, I would legit murder someone for a case of Supernova. Lock me up with the case, and I'll be good. Put me on death row. That's my final meal. Is just more Supernova.
Yeah, I don't think we have that anymore. No.
Oh man!
It was just a limited time for the democracy kind of thing.
Yeah.
I guess it lost.
Shame. It lost here in America, too, and some shitty flavor one.
Probably like Mountain Dew Red or something. Code Red or whatever.
Code Red it's actually been like a full-time flavor for, God, 15 years, something like that. That was
Code
never a vote.
I
think Voltage was the one that won that. It's like a blue raspberry one.
Which is like the plainest of them all. It's the least daring, the most safe. They're just like, yeah, okay, we were going to choose this anyways.
It's just so bad. Oh, man. At least over the summer, we got the Baja Blast from Taco Bell. That shit's pretty good. Video games. What kind of games are you guys playing now?
Oh, I play some Diablo. I haven't played that one in a while. I have played Star Wars recently.
I have not played Star Wars recently.
I just got an Xbox like 2 weeks ago.
Nice.
Oh, yeah, I guess. I'm still playing Smash.
Everyone's still playing Smash. Are you excited for Cloud?
Yeah, I'm pretty excited for Cloud. Excited to play against him for the first week because everybody's going to play him and just forget about him.
He'll be the only character online.
Same with Ryu.
See,
Ryu,
I will always call him Ryu.
Yeah.
I'll never acknowledge the name Ryu. It's just Super Nintendo days. He was always Ryu, and that's my youth. I'm sticking with that.
Yeah, it's like the guy or Yi, as some people say it.
Yeah. Pff, fuck that. Do you think anyone else is going to be announced for Smash? We need a Starwall in Smash. You got to push for that to happen.
Well, Sakurai is calling it quits.
Really?
Yeah, he's saying that this is the last announcement. I think it's tomorrow. So like the 15th. So that's going to be pretty exciting. And then after that, there's no more announcements.
Man.
And he says that he's done.
No, so he was done before, and he's came back every time. So to him, the N64 game was the only one he was going to do.
Oh, yeah.
And then they just brought him back for the GameCube one, and he's like, all right, this is my last one. And then they brought him back on the Wii, and he's like, all right, this is my last one. It's like Kojima. He kept quitting, but they never let him quit. Except for now, where he got fired.
Yeah. Well, maybe this is the time for both of them.
And they were like, well, yeah, you've cost us too much money with all these guest characters. You're fired. We're done.
Yeah.
Next game is just going to be nothing but Pokemon.
Well, they already have that Tekken
Pokken
thing.
Tournament.
However you say it, that's just, I don't know.
I'm sure they'll have amiibo for all of them as well, huh?
Maybe, yeah. If the money keeps coming in, which it will.
My friend is insistent that he's waiting until they announce a complete Pokemon amiibo line.
Oh, my.
How many Pokemon are there,
like,
though?
Like 700 something now.
Oh, well, there's more than that.
Probably.
I gotta Google this.
I know there's at least 151.
Yeah. 151. I think
there's only 151.
I don't think there have been that few Pokemon since I was in high school still.
Man. Elementary school still for me.
I miss... God damn it.
I was like grade 6, so it's like 2 years.
Yeah. God, I feel so old talking to you guys.
Well, how old are you?
I am going to be turning 35 in March.
That's not too old.
I'm getting there.
I'm 28.
I'm getting there.
I'm 29. I'm 29. There's a few, like, 30, 32s in our...
30. I think Jason's 34.
There you go. See, like, we're all...
Damn millennials.
I'm okay with that.
Millennials, what are those? Those are, like, what?
Well, that's our generation. Actually, it's probably a little bit younger than us, but basically our age group.
You kids aren't and your like texting the... and your LOLs.
Gen Xers?
Yeah.
Gen Wires or something.
There's too many terms. Punk kids is what I'll go with. You punk kids, get off my lawn.
It's funny because I don't even know how many kids are actually punk anymore.
Yeah, I think they're all emo now.
Yeah, all of them are punk.
They're all hipsters.
Hipster kids. With their hair combed over their face.
Yeah.
Listening to their Justin Biebers and their... I don't even know what music is popular anymore.
One Direction?
Probably. I'll keep listening to my... I'll listen to my Mastodon and my 4 Years Strong and my KMFDM and my Linkin Park.
This convo went downhill.
Yeah, it did.
What a bummer.
So what are you guys working on next? What is coming next from Breakfall?
We're making a game.
What? I didn't know that.
I don't believe you.
Oh, okay. We're just smoking a lot of pot.
Makes sense.
Pretending we're making a game.
You're just enjoying your free health care.
Yeah,
exactly. Well, we run into the road, get hit, get back fixed up, and then do it again.
That works.
And we do that because what we do is we take the money that we made from Starwall and go and find hookers.
Hookers, party in the streets, get run over, smoke your pot, and then get your health care.
Yeah.
That works.
And our prime minister just said that he wants to legalize marijuana. So,
oh, man, even better.
We're following Colorado.
So when President Trump takes over here, everyone's going to move up to Canada.
We got lots of space.
And get high with you guys.
If Trump gets in, we're all going to space.
Well, that's what Elon Musk wants.
Who?
Space. Colonize Mars. And maybe if we ever colonize Mars, the good thing will be we'll actually find solid proof of narwhals in space.
Oh, that'd be amazing.
Well, there is proof. There's a game about it. Doesn't that make it?
Your game is a documentary.
It is a documentary. Not a lot of people know that.
It's a fact.
You guys need like a behind the scenes of Starwall where you're in space taking live footage of the space narwhal attacking each other.
That was one of our stretch goals on Kickstarter. If we made $1 trillion, we were going to launch a space mission.
No, weren't you going to like, here, I'm going to read it. I think I was going to be sent into space.
That's a hell of a stretch goal to just be shot into space.
It would be worth it, though.
It would be.
Would it just be you, or would they send a narwhal with you?
Let's see what it was.
Did you find it?
No, I'm too slow.
I'm on it, but I can't go to the campaign part. What the hell's going on?
Internet click, better.
Click. 1 trillion. Arranged to have a narwhal launched into space along with Andrew Jabine, Starwall developer and narwhal enthusiast. 1 trillion.
You didn't make it.
Oh, no, man. You were so close.
The other one that we had was the 3,336,372. And that was because it was going to be $1 more than Double Fine's Adventure Game Kickstarter.
And that we would send Tim Schafer and the team a kindly worded letter to let them know that they've been served. Unfortunately, the people didn't want that to happen. So,
damn.
It didn't happen. I know.
That would have been fantastic.
We had the letter written up and everything.
Do you honestly have the letter written up?
Maybe.
You should take a picture of it, and I'll use that as the picture for this episode of the podcast.
It's probably just like on a napkin.
In crayon.
Of course. You get free crayons when you go to like diners and stuff.
Would that have been like issuing a dance battle to Tim Schafer?
No, we won. No. We didn't need a dance battle. We just won.
I think you guys should have a dance battle next E3 that you guys are at. Track down Tim Schafer and be like, motherfucker, let's dance. We have to sort this out.
I could beat him. I'll start practicing now.
And then videotape that and then have a Kickstarter to release the video. You could make that a feature-length documentary. How Tim Schafer was properly served.
Properly. Hope he hears this.
I can guarantee you he will never hear this episode.
Well, if we keep tweeting him.
Yes.
I'll tag him. Be like, at Tim the Legend was served.
Well,
a dance battle was issued to Tim Schafer.
The dance battle has to be... what was it? PlayStation Experience, I saw him and talked to him briefly.
And you didn't use that opportunity to issue a dance battle?
No. Next time we do a Kickstarter, we'll have a $1 trillion goal for having a time machine.
To go back in time and issue that dance battle.
Properly issue that.
Way more extreme way of issuing the dance battle. Instead of just going to...
You got to do it right. If you're gonna issue a dance battle to Tim Schafer, you have to time travel first to make sure it's done right.
Exactly.
And then the present day will just change to everybody knowing that dance battle happened.
And I'll do it back when Tim Schafer was working at Lucas Games. Way back
then. He won't know what Starwall is.
He won't know. It won't matter.
They're like, who are you?
And back when he was doing, was it Manic Mansion and Day of the Tentacle, like those games? Because there's time travel in Day of the Tentacle.
So did we lose the ability to time travel now? Or, like...
I think so.
So do we have to first invent time travel to build a time-traveling machine to go back?
I think that's actually where he got the idea of the game is... In 2 years, we actually made a time traveling device and went back and danced them.
I heard about that.
That's why all of his games are
crazy. I read about that in history class.
Yeah.
It was the day that time travel was allegedly invented in the future because you guys showed up in the past.
The dance battle.
You guys are what inspired Psychonauts. He had a dream about it.
Psychonauts or Psychonauts 2. Yeah.
I just want to know, what would happen if that was a reality and you went back in time? Would it be like a Back to the Future where this episode disappears because the past has changed and this conversation never happens?
Well, I wouldn't know. Yeah, Stephen Hawking.
See, that's why you have to invent time travel, just to see if this episode disappears.
I think he's asking too many questions. We have to eliminate him.
He knows. Kill him.
He knows too much.
And all this because I asked, what are you guys working on next?
Oh, yeah.
Yep. It's a game. Yeah. Are we allowed to say anything?
Isn't it your company? Aren't you a co-founder?
Pretty much.
Well... It's still in the early stages. And I don't
We're making a game that you get to build stuff and then share things.
Sounds like a game.
It's Minecraft too.
Minecraft.
We're making Minecraft too.
Congratulations.
Yes. If I say it enough, it might happen.
Yeah, I wish we had some better screenshots of it or something.
Better screenshots of Minecraft 2?
Yeah, or the game.
Is it being developed with all platforms in mind, or is it just going to be like PC first and then...
It will be PC first, but we do have it in the back of our mind that other platforms.
I'll cross my fingers that it comes to Xbox closer to the other releases instead of being like way last.
Well, the only reason it was last for Starwall is because it was harder just to get into the program. And so that's pretty much it. Like, if we were up right away, we would have done it.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Has it, ever since you're in the program, has it been easier working with Xbox getting the game released?
I'll let the other guy.
They were pretty good. They were very responsive, and yeah.
So are there any other platforms being planned for Starwall, or are you guys done with the Starwall experience?
I think in terms of platforms, we're done.
Yeah, I think we're pretty much done. If there's anything else that pops into our minds or whatever, but I think
we have discussed Apple TV, but barely.
Is it available on Vita or 3DS?
No.
Any plans for a handheld version?
No plans. We have talked about it, but it doesn't have online. So that would be tricky to have it handheld.
Yeah, I was also going to ask if there were ever any thoughts of adding online to it in a future update or anything like that.
We have no current plans for that, mainly just because it's so crazy hard to do.
Yeah, that we've heard that a lot on this show, is that online, developing online, no one can fully understand how difficult it is unless they actually try to do it themselves.
Yeah, and especially with Star Wars, because it's all physics and it's so quick.
Yeah.
That even any lag will potentially ruin the gameplay experience. So that's one of the biggest reasons why we haven't done it yet.
Well, that and it was designed around local multiplayer, so I don't know how much we would have to rewrite just to make it work. Like the gameplay would actually take a hit.
I can see that. Is it something that a possible Starwall 2 could see?
Yeah, I think it's possible.
Starwall harder.
Starwall even harder.
What was the influence, or what led you guys to have the controls be so fucking insane?
Awesome.
In Starwall?
Awesome.
Absolutely awesome, but also quite fucking insane.
Well, at the time, right before the game jam, we were playing Quap and all those games that kind of have like the weird controls that kind of made it fun. So that kind of fueled the floppiness and just the difficult nature. And I guess just creating it under those constraints and making that kind of what was fun about it is how it came up to be. We got things running, up and running in 2 or 4 hours, where we had like these untextured gray capsules just flopping just ridiculously on a plane, and we were just like, this is going somewhere.
How do the physics work out with that game? Because I'm guessing basically when you're steering and you're adding forward thrust, you're basically just controlling the tip of the horn.
Kind of, yeah. Basically that is, there's how many sections of the narwhal are there? There's the head, the body, yeah, the tail and the flipper.
And then just a gigantic bloated mass flopping around behind it.
Yeah, so the head component is the only one that gets any forces applied to it. It gets like left and right movements to move the head left and right, and then the forward, which goes in the direction that the head is pointing towards. So basically where the tusk is pointing. And then everything else is connected using joints with the rest of the body. And those have mass, and they don't get anything besides collision.
And what led you to create like speed challenges and hitting targets with such an insane control scheme? Is it just a sadistic nature?
We just don't like people.
Yeah.
Like go back and play multiplayer, because you know, I don't know why you're playing alone. Just go get some friends.
I've played so many of the different multiplayer games, and most of the time it's either me against bots or me and my roommate playing Starwall was the first one where I actually had me and three other people playing together, and we were losing our goddamn minds laughing because of how insane it is. The first time you even just try to move your character in that game and you just start flipping around in circles and flopping on the ground, it's glorious. It is absolutely glorious to experience.
That makes us happy. Yep.
And a lot of people are like, oh, is the game worth it? And I said on the show, if it is absolutely worth picking up, and if you have friends to play with, it's even more worth it.
Mm-hmm. It's just, that's for sure.
It's one of the few multiplayer battle games where even with bots, it's still fun to play by yourself. And I think that's a huge credit to you guys for making something so enjoyable to play by yourself in a game like this.
Well, thanks, man.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah. So I guess the original question was why the single player and how did it come into fruition?
Yeah. It was mostly the other programmer. He really liked those type of games. So him and somebody else kind of took the lead on trying to do those.
It was just something that, like, we knew that if we were to release with just multiplayer, especially that wasn't online, I don't think it would have gone very well. So if we had something that people that didn't have friends over right away or something, that they would be able to not only just play with bots, but kind of have challenges and tasks to help even hone their skills. So like targets, it helps you with the heart piercing, and then the obstacle course, it kind of just helps you with steering.
And then it also makes achievement hunters like Shiz Blacka go insane trying to get those platinums.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So thank you for that entertainment as well.
Actually, did you watch most of the stream? Did you watch when he got the high score on one of the levels, Ice and Fire?
I didn't
he
see
spent
him
like
when
15
he...
minutes.
Yeah, I didn't see him when he did it, but when I entered the stream, he's like, oh my god, you've got to see this, you got to see this. So he was pretty excited about that. I'm so happy that his life was made by your game.
His life was complete now.
Yes.
Yeah.
Until a new game comes out with more achievements.
Starwall 2.
Yes. Starwall harder. So the soundtrack in the game is pretty enjoyable as well. Who is the guy behind the soundtrack?
The guy is called Mike Keogh, and he's done audio for a lot of companies, like I don't know, a lot of games, and actually, like, that's his thing. I don't know what to say. Like, it's past my bedtime.
Is it 9 o'clock for you as well?
Yes, it is.
I guess I should let you guys go to bed soon. So,
no, it's fine.
I was actually going to say, at the end of our show, we usually play music, and I was going to see if you guys would be all right with us playing some songs from Starwall at the end of the episode here.
Nice. I think that'd be cool.
I enjoy the synthy 80s style space music, I guess.
Yeah, that was the plan. Make everything 80s style.
The neon lights, the synthy music. All you needed was like Michael Bain to do a voiceover for the game.
And add some more lens flares.
Yes, get him fresh off of Blood Dragon to handle the announcing for your title.
So I think it's actually Blood Dragon was announced after we had some of the Starwall stuff, and we're like, wow, Blood Dragon looks so much like Starwall, like just on the front screen. It was kind of funny to see.
Mm-hmm. What is going on?
That's my roommate. He's doing something.
Messing up the stream.
It's okay. No one's going to listen to this anyway. Well, it has been over an hour, so I don't want to take up too much of your night. Is there any other kind of fun stories that either of you guys would like to share about the development or showing it off or anything like that?
No, we're pretty boring people.
Well, you've had me laughing for an hour, so I don't think you guys are that boring.
I don't know if you have any more questions that are not even related to Starwall. That'd be cool.
How are you guys doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you for asking.
Are you guys excited for Christmas?
No.
Yes.
What's your favorite Christmas song?
Rudolph Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Chestnuts roasting off on an open fire.
Nice. I absolutely hate Christmas music myself, and every time I go out in public, I want to stab my eardrums.
Well, then you can just listen to the Starwall soundtrack, and then you'll be great.
Indeed. Yeah. I'll have to burn a CD since our car's not cool enough to have, like, an audio jack in it or anything.
Well, just put it on a tape and bust out your Walkman. And...
See, and our car's not even old enough to still have a tape deck, which sucks even more. Like, we have to...
Wait, you don't have your Walkman from, like, the 90s?
Oh, I wish. I have some Def Leppard cassettes I could be playing.
There you go. Just bust out one of those. You can have music on the go.
I grew up with a Walkman. I know the pain of having to flip over a cassette tape on your ride home from school.
So hard.
You have to, like, stop it and open it and then flip it around, and then people are looking at you like, oh my god, what are you listening to? I had my Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles live cassette tape playing. Oh my lord.
Then the future came, and then everyone was in compact discs. No, compact discs, that's the future.
Mini CDs.
Yeah, that lasted like a year.
Yeah. And now these kids with their goddamn cell phones playing their 14 gigs of music.
They don't know what skipping is.
Man, they probably don't even know what a 128 kilobit MP3 file is. These kids with their AUG files and their FLAC files and their lossless and iTunes.
I still remember, like, making games on and then putting them on my floppy disk.
Yeah.
1.44 megabytes.
Yeah, man, that's old school.
We used those when we were in high school. When I was in high school still, like, nobody had USB thumb drives. If you did, I remember in grade 12, I bought a 32 megabyte thumb drive for $60.
32 megabit.
Yeah.
Damn.
You're a sucker. You just had to wait like 5 or 10 years and you're just done.
Man, you stupid asshole. Jeez.
Yeah. It's because
what a loser.
It was because in high school, I had a box of floppy disks for multiple different classes.
Yeah, same.
You're like, oh, this class, floppy disk. And you're like, God, that was weird.
I'm so old school. I have a Hotmail email address.
Yeah, so do I.
That's old school. Hotmail.com. I used to have an Excite email address, too.
The first website I made was in GeoCities.
Yeah, it was like Angel Fire. Oh, God.
I think I used homestead.com. Like, no one else used that, but I did.
Oh, man, I used that, too. With, like, the faux brick background and the fire text.
And you could have a counter at the bottom of the page to show how many people were there, and when it would hit 10, I'd be all excited.
And then you can, like, have a MIDI file just playing in the background.
Auto-playing, of course. Just for all those dial-up people to get pissed off.
And then you would, like, have a super long text follow your mouse.
The mouse trails.
Mouse trails.
Oh, god damn, I forgot about those things.
All the animated GIFs.
Flashing, thanks for visiting.
Here's a dancing baby.
Oh, man.
Oh, the dancing baby GIF was so popular.
I missed the late 90s.
I missed the early 90s when there's no internet.
Yeah.
There was internet in the 80s.
No, I mean, for like
no one used it.
Assumption.
Oh, I don't miss the part where You'd be like, all right, I'm using the internet. Nobody used the phone for the next hour.
Oh, man.
Because it would disconnect.
My family hated that I used the internet because, like, once or twice I fell asleep overnight while I was downloading a song, because back then songs took an hour to download.
On Napster?
Of course.
Yeah.
Who didn't use Napster? Or you sent it over ICQ and you prayed to God you didn't disconnect for the 2 hours that your two
'Cause you
meg
couldn't really
song
zoom in.
traveled.
Or when all the early Flash videos were just Flash and you couldn't play them. Like they just had to load all the memory first and then they would just play and you couldn't have a playback
Yeah.
timeline. Like I remember watching like The End of the World and that was a famous one on E-Bombs World in high school and you had to wait for it to load. And at the end, it would have a play again button.
Man, good old Flash.
Yeah.
How many young viewers do you have? Because I think we just lost them all.
None.
Oh, okay. Then we're good. We're good. We can just do this for another 3 hours.
That works.
Yeah.
Well, like I said, I didn't want to take up too much of your night, and we are reaching nearly an hour and a half here, so I would love to thank you guys for coming on the show and talking with me and talking about Starwall and making fun of Shiz and his desires to get 1,000 achievement points in the game.
Actually, I have to do that soon, and then maybe this week I'll start and try to beat all those times that he got
Oh, wouldn't that
on
just
Xbox.
excite him?
Oh, you
Oh,
should
dude.
just jump onto the leaderboards and just accidentally delete his times. Oh, he would
Or just
cry.
play Fire and Ice over and over again until you beat him.
The
Take
way
the one
he
thing
got
he.
his high score is because of me. I told him the route. I was the one that
Wow.
found it out originally.
I think you should beat him now. Take
Yeah.
that time from him. Take
I
his
should actually.
joy.
I have three high scores currently. I've only played like 10 levels since it came out last week. I
Oh,
had
the
three. I just wonder if
developer
I
has
still
got
have the
some high
three.
scores.
I have
Yeah.
three.
Not like he's played it like for 3 years. What a
Yeah.
surprise.
Now's your time, man. Now's your time to sit down and practice. I believe in you. I think you could do it.
Now's your time to shine.
It's a cool
Blossom.
game. You should check it out.
Yeah. Done.
Are there any games you guys are excited about coming out in the early 2016?
Unravel. That yarn game.
Oh, it looks so
Oh yeah, that
good.
looks good.
I
What
like
what games are
those.
actually coming out? 2016 games.
Overwatch. It's out in beta now, but it'll be fun to play Overwatch.
Mario and Luigi Paper Jam, I'm excited for that one. And then Fire Emblem. And then Far Cry.
Five card primal.
Yeah, Garden Warfare 2's coming out. Twilight Princess HD. Uncharted 4. The Division.
Oh, Star Fox.
Star Fox.
Yeah,
The
I'm
Odin
excited for that.
Sphere re-release on the PS4. Man, why so much good shit coming out at the beginning of the year? That's when we're supposed to recover from the fall.
No recovery.
Ah, oh, man.
No mercy.
You guys are going to need to issue Starwall HD Remix physical box set in March just to go up against Uncharted 4.
Yeah. Oh, wait, the Game of the Year edition.
Yeah.
Of 2016, of course.
Yes,
We'll release
obviously.
it. Release it January 1st, Game of the Year edition.
With a Starwall plushie box set.
Of course. Of course. Oh, and Starwall Amiibo and, all that stuff.
Hey, Mega Man Legacy Collection is releasing with a golden Mega Man, so
Yeah, I gotta get my hands on that.
you could get yourself a golden Starwall amiibo as well.
I'll just like get a one of those old like realistic ones like a narwhal, and then you get a like Toys R Us or something, and I'll just paint that gold, and I'll be like, yeah, I got one.
Spray paint it.
Spray painted. Dark Souls 3. I'm
Oh
interested
God,
in
yeah,
that.
that's coming out too.
Looking
Oh my
good.
God, 2016 is going to be so expensive.
Well, what year isn't?
True, very true. Money sucks. I need to
Yep.
develop.
Yeah, they should just give.
I'm gonna rip off Starwall and then sell that and then just make millions of dollars like you guys did.
Sure.
And then get all the hookers and all the video games.
And then that we sue you, and then we take your money, and then we're good.
Awesome.
And then we get more hookers and blow.
Sounds like a plan. And
more money.
Then you guys could go to MAGFest. You could afford the road trip to MAGFest.
Perfect.
And then we'll share a beer.
Oh, ukulele. Oh, I want that to come out soon.
Oh, when you said that, I thought you just meant the instrument, but then I just realized you're talking about the one that's kind of like a Banjo-Kazooie spiritual successor game.
No, I was talking about the instrument.
All right, we should go to Hawaii.
Yeah, I don't know when it's coming out, but I want it.
That's what you're going to do with your lawsuit money, is just get a collection of ukuleles going on.
Well, yeah.
We should make a game about ukuleles.
In space.
In space.
Underwater.
Underwater space?
Sure.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
This so, is yeah, usually
I'm,
how
I'm guessing you guys are on drugs right now thinking of this. Your Canadian pot.
Well, I didn't talk for like 2 minutes. I really wasn't here. I just went out.
You were just mainlining, injecting some poutine.
Oh,
yeah, that's why we were on.
Shooting up cheese curds.
It's cheaper.
Well, on the note of shooting up cheese curds, I guess we will wrap this up. I want to thank you guys again for coming on. It has been a blast talking with you. I'm going to make sure to let my roommate know he's a dickhead for blowing this off.
Yep.
They both missed out on a fun show, and I want to thank you again for bringing the game to the Xbox One and letting it be a part of our show and coming on and talking with us. And is there any final words that you have for our listeners?
Buy our game or else.
We'll be right back.